Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You know what? It is it is a good day. Tank Top Thursday starts now. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Happy Thursday. My dudes, my dudettes, my amigos, my amigettes, and my Mets fans. Welcome in. Happy to have you. Hope your week is going well, better than last week. But hope it's going swimmingly so far. Welcome in. What a day we've got lined up for you today. 1,010 things to get to on the radio broadcast today. We've got to talk some college football and some NFL coming up here in just a little while. Had the opportunity last night, Greenville Swamp Rabbits preseason game last night. Got the opportunity to speak with a gentleman by the name of Josh, big Gamecock fan. He saw me walking around the concourse there at the Bonscore Wellness Arena, getting into a little preseason hacky. And we chatted for a minute, and he said, Rob Brown. First off, he said, Rob Brown, great to meet you. And I said, thank you, sir. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. It's a privilege to meet you, my dear friend, and I appreciate you coming to say hello, because I always do. If you see me, come say hi. Swamp Harbor games, drive games, triumph games, doesn't matter. You see me, you come say hi, all right? That's what I'm there for. And more often than not, if I'm wearing a jersey, it's got my name across the back. You'll see me. I'm loud. Come say hi. He came up and he said, Rob Brown, can my Gamecocks fix it? And I said, solid maybe on that, Chief. That's a solid maybe on that. I said, however, you might want to find... you might want to find something better to do on Saturday, because I don't think it's going to go great.
Really?
And he said, I don't know.
You told a fan
to
not watch his team.
Directly to his face.
Wow.
Sure did.
Wow.
Sure did. Absolutely, wow. Entirely did.
You could not be a beacon of hope. You couldn't find one chance of positivity out of that game.
No, I didn't. I said, look, I said that what I ultimately hope here, what I'd really like to believe here, is that this was what we in the business call a teachable moment. I said, I'd like to believe this is a teachable moment. I'd like to believe that this is a learning opportunity, that this is a chance for your team to look itself in the mirror and to say, hey, we screwed up, all right? We bleeped the bed. We got to get this right.
We had one bad game, and now, you know, Rob wasn't really on the boat, but he's trying to tip the boat over.
No. You're dead wrong.
One bad game.
Dead wrong.
One bad game.
No. Right. However, and I think this is kind of the, I thought about this a lot yesterday. We were having this conversation and we got into it a little bit at the game last night. I was thinking about it after we had the show last night. Or yesterday morning, pardon me. There was a lot going on in this. And I came to the conclusion, the resolution that, yeah, it is just one game. It's one game. It's one game. It's just one game. It's one game. Absolutely, I agree with you. It's not that it was a bad game. It's how it was a bad game, right? Like, every team's going to have a bad game. Am I right, Alabama? Every team's going to have a bad game.
I have been on teams, I'm sure you have, where everything went wrong and it made no sense. Through osmosis, one bad thing happened. It turned into one of the worst things you've ever seen on the field. And in the following game, you got it back together and you played better.
Sure, right, absolutely. It's not that it was a bad game. It is how it was a bad game. It's not that, because there's days where you go out and you just get it wrong. There's days you go out and stuff just gets sideways on you. It happens to every team. It happens to every player. It happens to you and I as radio hosts and radio executive producers extraordinaire. Everybody has bad days. I get that. I understand that. It is not that it was a bad day. It's that there is a, let me put it this way. There is a difference in, and I'm gonna draw a comparison to us, because if there's one thing Lonzo and I like to do, it's make it about us. All right, I'm gonna draw the comparison.
No,
to us.
I make it about us. You make it about you.
No, I make it about us when it's bad. That's a joke. Relax, everybody. Let me make it about
is
us.
It?
Yes, most of the time. Let me make it about us. There is a difference in. Robin Lonzo had a bad day because Robin Lonzo kept forgetting to turn their microphones on and off. It's 4-2, by the way.
Never happens.
Because Lonzo accidentally hit the trigger and played the music too early. Because Rob kept stumbling over his words because he's a big dumb idiot. Right? Those are things that just happen. That's the fumbling a handoff. That's the missing a window and throwing a pick. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen to everybody. And then there's the other side of the coin. Then there's the, you had a bad day because you weren't prepared, because you were undisciplined, right? Because you broke down in a bad spot. There's a difference between Rob had a bad show because he got out ahead of himself. He got out over his skis and he was fumbling his words and stuff. That happens. That's the formulaic mistakes. Versus Rob had a bad show because he drank a bunch of brown liquor the night before and he didn't prepare anything. He didn't have a rundown. He didn't come in here with a plan. He just came in here and said, bleep it. I'll wing it for 4 hours. I can do that. Which, don't get me wrong, I can. But you know what I do. I mean, I don't do it often. And normally when I do, it's something that I'll text the boss and be like, look, here's the deal, man. I got this going on tonight. It's going to be a short prep night for me, okay? There's a difference there. It's not that Carolina had a bad game. Bad games happen to everybody. Bama lost to Vandy. Bad games happen to everybody. It's that the reason you had a bad game is what is inexcusable. Having a bad game, very excusable. It's sports. Happens to everybody. Having a bad game because you had a bad mindset, your game plan sucked, you weren't prepared, that's a different story. That's tough. It is tough for me to excuse getting into the third quarter, recognizing that you ain't winning this game by running the football on Ole Miss. Clearly, your run game's not going to do it. And what was the response to that? Nothing. Nothing. No adaptation, no changes, no nothing. They just kept going, yeah, we're just going to keep doing that. Hey, you know, at some point, I understand the mentality of run the dang football. Run the dang football. I get that mentality. But, like, at some point, you got to go, maybe we got to turn Lenore Sellers loose a little bit here. Maybe we got to lengthen the leash out a little bit. Let my man throw the ball. I don't know if I'm explaining this well enough because, I'm bad at this job. But my thought is, so it's not that they had a bad game. I can excuse a bad game, maybe, because I'm a kind and benevolent guy. Maybe two. I can excuse a couple of good games. What I can't excuse is a bad game because you lack discipline. What I can't excuse is a bad game because your game plan stinks. Or in this case, what it felt like to me, you didn't really have one. Like, it kind of felt to me that they were like, hey, we did well against LSU. Let's just do that again. Let's just run that one back. I don't get it. So the answer is, and again, when we did our expectations preseason, when we went back and forth about what do we expect to see, what do we expect the final results to be, and we were kicking that around a little bit. If thou shalt recall, I said the ceiling is 8-4, the floor is 4-8, and you can be anywhere in the middle. But where you are in that spot is going to be up to a couple of different games. The Ole Miss game was one. I did say preseason, I thought the LSU game was one because I thought coming into the season, LSU might be a little bit overrated. They lost a lot from last year. Thomas, Neighbors, Daniels, half their defense, like they lost a lot. The LSU game was one. The Ole Miss game was one. The Kentucky game was one. The Oklahoma, A&M, Vandy, and Mizzou games were going to determine how your season went. Because I thought Old Dominion U was a win. Akron was a win. Wofford was a win. Vandy was a win, which, by the way, that ain't for sure anymore. So the floor was 4-8. The floor was you lose to Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Oklahoma, A&M, and Mizzou, and Clemson. And you're 4-8. And the ceiling was you beat Old Dominion, you beat Kentucky, you beat LSU, you beat Ole Miss, you beat Oklahoma, you beat A&M, you beat Vandy, you beat Mizzou, you beat Wofford. You're somewhere in the 8-4, 9-3, 7-5 ballpark. The team that I saw on Saturday, not because they had a bad game, and I agree with you, they had one bad game, but the team that I saw against Ole Miss, that team certainly ain't beating Alabama. And when I say ain't beating Alabama, and I will acknowledge that there's an outside factor in this conversation, and the outside factor in this conversation is that Bama just took the upset L to Vandy. And as we pointed out, or as I pointed out earlier this week, teams coming off of an upset, top 25 teams coming off of an upset, cover the spread the next week by something to the tune of like almost 77%. When a team in the top 25 gets upset the next week, almost to a T, they cover the, not win, cover the spread. This is not just a team coming in upset that they got upset, and not just upset, but like upset that will be discussed for years. We've always said when we talk college football upsets, what's the number one illustration? What's the go-to when you say college football upsets? What has been until last weekend the illustration of college football upsets? App State, Michigan. Now it's Vandy, Alabama. That's how big this upset was to me. This upset to me, even as a Power 4 school, is a bigger upset than App State, Michigan.
No, I don't think so.
Is it in the same conversation?
It is in the same conversation.
Good enough for now.
But it's like a lower two. It's definitely not right. Yeah,
I will accept
because of the level of football that App State was at the time.
I mean, I think there's been years where App State's been better than Vanderbilt. If we're keeping it a
probably, but yeah. But a lot of those times they were a different level of football. They have moved up since then. I don't think they had moved up when they beat Michigan. I think they were still down.
I was in FCS squad.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly, they were still FCS. In fact, I know they were FCS at the time.
At the time, they might have been called Division II.
Yeah. I will say for the sake of what the upset meant to Vandy and all that, it's at least in the discussion. That's good enough for me. When we, 10 years from now, are talking about the biggest college football upsets, you know how we get to like May and June? And I want to talk baseball, but you guys don't? And so we gotta like force a college football discussion. Who's the greatest player to ever wear number 25? You know, that kind of stuff. Inevitably, once a year, we have our conversation during the offseason of what's the biggest college football upset of all time? Alabama Vandy's in that discussion now. It's going to be App State, Michigan. It's going to be Vandy, Alabama. This team, after they beat Georgia, kind of felt like they had an arrow's flight into the SEC title game. Guys, they don't anymore. They're out of room for mistakes. Because I'll tell you right now, and I could be wrong about this, I believe in Texas now. I think Texas is that good. I think Texas is that good. Said that to Horvat and Brad Evans on BetMGM tonight on Tuesday. I think Texas is that good. I think Texas is going to, and I want to work this word into the show more, Lonzo, mollywop the Boomer Sooners this weekend.
Not a word. You just made that up.
Mollywop?
Never heard it before in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I'm much older than you.
Mollywop. No. Like, beat the hell out of.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You guys have heard the word mollywop before, right?
Must be the glasses you're wearing or something. You're just bringing stuff out of nowhere.
I decided to go full D-bag on the show today since we're doing Tank Top Thursday. And I saw these on Amazon the other day, and I'm like, It's not bad. They're not bad. Do you recognize them? Do you know where they're from?
They look like something RDJ would be wearing.
Edith. Remember when Spider-Man gets the glasses from Iron Man? Well, that's what these are.
So I was right.
And I'm a perfect mix of D-bag and giant nerd. Right down the middle. Kind of nailed it.
So you're Mysterio. Way to go.
I mean, not wrong.
So you think you're Jake Gyllenhaal?
I mean, you know, I feel like if you were putting together a list of celebrities, like me and Jake Gyllenhaal are kind of in the same boat, right? We're kind of around each other.
I don't know. You look more like someone who is a Twitch video gamer. That's what you look like. Disguising yourself so you can go out in public wearing, you know, what you normally wear and not that. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not upset about it. I do it for the record. I look cool. I mean, I'm convinced I look cool, and at the end of the day, that's...
And the fact that your camera is just not working right, it plays right into it.
I'm not going to lie, they also aren't prescriptions, so I can't tell if my camera's blurry or I'm blurry.
Oh, no, you're blurry. You've been blurry, and it's been frozen several times, which has been perfect for what you're wearing. Yeah, it just really works. No, it's out of focus, and I think you should leave it like that, because... Again,
it looks good on my screen.
And, okay, well, maybe some comments from anyone out there watching, because you're froze right now on mine.
Oh, so. No, I look good. I look good. I'm looking at the live stream over here, which you can too at facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The YouTube channel is The Fan Upstate or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Join us, won't you, as we broadcast all 4 hours of the show live each and every single day. We'd love to have you. Also want you to use the Ray Memorial hotline. The Ray Memorial hotline available. The Odyssey app. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on the little microphone button. You can leave a 60-second voice note for the great one and I. The Ray. That's what we came up with yesterday. And unless any of you have a better name for it, which I don't think you do, that's a pretty solid name. The Ray Memorial hotline is open for you. Go to the Odyssey app. Click on the microphone button. Click and leave us a 60-second voice message at your leisure. And it becomes hashtag content. We'd love to have you. All right. Was it unfair? Let's talk about this when we come back. Was it unfair of me yesterday to tell a Gamecock fan, of which I am married to one now? Was it fair of me to tell a Gamecock fan yesterday they might want to find something better to do than watch their team play on Saturday? Because I got to tell you, I felt like it was... correct to say that. I said it a minute ago, and I thought Lonzo was about to throw sharp, pointy objects at me.
Well, because we just lost a listener, and that's...
No, we didn't. He was very cool. We talked in the parking lot for like 10 minutes after that.
Of course you're going to do that, and then later on, it's like, man, what a jerk move. Why would he say that? I mean, he can't find... He does this for a living. He can't find something positive to tell me?
I did. I said, I hope it's a teachable moment. I hope that Shane can go in and go, boys, we got to be more
disciplined. Were you wearing that costume last night?
No, I was wearing a hockey jersey.
Okay.
It was at a hockey game.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this costume, this isn't a costume, this is an outfit.
People seem to think it's a costume, so, I mean, you know.
I'm Bill Murray.
Okay.
I bought the Bill Murray Space Jam job. All right, back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So, appropriate or inappropriate? Lonzo says, throw the yellow flag on Rob Brown. Rob Brown says, probably not. Yesterday at the Swamp Rabbits preseason hacky game, as we get set for the season opener a week from tomorrow at the Bonsor Core Wellness Arena. By the way, the voice of the Swamp Rabbits, Mark Benetti, will join us on tomorrow's show. And Kyle Mountain, the new head coach of the Swamp Rabbits, will join us next week on the program as we get set for the drop. Also tomorrow on the show, Joe Irwin and Doug Irwin, the owner, president, and CBO of the Greenville Triumph, join us. Because remember how yesterday I said there was big news coming down the pipe that was going to, even if you're not a soccer guy, was going to ring a bell for you? One of the greatest soccer players in the history of the sport, and I'm not talking on a local level, a college level, I am talking about in the name of the game, Ronaldinho, one of the greatest players of all time, got welcomed into the Triumph ownership group last night. The Greenville Triumph are now partly owned by freaking Ronaldinho. You know who that is, even if you're just like on the fringe of the soccer world. Just like on the fringe of it. Ronaldinho, one of the greatest of all to ever play the game, internationally or otherwise, now part of the Greenville Triumph ownership group. That's it. That's beyond incredible. So anyway, last night, hockey game, getting game's over. I'm walking out to the parking lot after the game. And because I love the people, I am indeed a man of the people. I didn't have my board up yet. Because I am indeed a man of the people. When I leave the hockey games, I don't go out the VIP tunnel, of which I am entitled to utilize. Instead, because I go out the concourse where the people are.
It's got to be the jersey, and no, it's the glasses. It's the glasses. It's got to be.
Kind of feeling myself a little bit today.
I could go out the MVP tunnel, but because I'm one of you people,
I go out with the people. So as I was walking out amongst the people, one of the people stopped me. Josh, Armada guy, brand new to the Armada, said I found you about a. No, he is found. He said I found you guys a couple of weeks ago. And I have been enjoying the show in the mornings. So I said, great. Good to have you. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Armada. You're now P1 automatically. He said, do you think my Gamecocks, and I'm asking the question the way that he phrased it to me, quote, can fix it, end quote. And I said, here's what I'll tell you, man. I was very disappointed in Saturday against Ole Miss. Not the loss. The loss I can understand. Ole Miss is a good team. I don't think they're up there with the Buckeyes and the Longhorns like a lot of folks wanted you to believe preseason that they are. But I think they're a good football team. I said I'm glad you prevented Juice Wells from coming in and having a narrative game against you. That was one of the big talking points. Is this cat a former Gamecock who transferred out and ticked off a lot of Gamecock fans on the way out the door? Does this guy come in and have like 125 yards and two touchdowns against you? No, he didn't. What, do you have one catch in that game? Good. I'm glad you were prepped for that, to prevent him from having that narrative game. I said, but I'm disappointed because it felt to me as if the team's game plan was either bad or non-existent. Either way, not a good look. Felt to me as if the team was undisciplined. We talked about the Dylan Stewart penalty, of which, by the way, I was told yesterday, and I may have missed it, but I was told yesterday that Stewart did that a couple of times in that game. That it wasn't, that was the one that got flagged, but apparently he had done it another time, and I guess it just didn't get caught. Maybe I just missed it. I don't know, but apparently he did that a couple of times. That kind of stuff can't happen. I said I was disappointed by the preparation or lack thereof. I was disappointed with the execution or lack thereof. I'm not okay with what happened, and I said, can it be fixed? I think yes. Here's my only concern. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later on.
Okay, so you did give him something. You made it sound like it was net. If he asked, could it be fixed, and you said yes, that was positive.
Oh, for sure.
From all the other stuff you said, all that was negative.
Let me be clear. Can it be fixed? Yes. I do think that this is going to be a really... I think we're at a really important point in the tenure of one Shane Beamer. In fact, I think right now is the make or break point of Shane Beamer's career. I think what happens now through the remainder of the season will go a long way in determining whether or not Shane Beamer is the head coach of this football team in a year, 2 years, 3 years from now. Because discipline, lack of game planning, lack of execution, these are all things that can be fixed. But I'll tell you, in my opinion, I will tell you what has to happen for that to happen. This is the part where players' coaches have to be less player coach. This is the part where the coach that the players love to be around, this is the part where the coach that likes to dance in the locker room and put on funny glasses, I don't know what kind of D-bag would do that, but this is the part where the dude who likes to do the fun stuff and have the fun stuff because the players enjoy it, that's got to stop for a little while. That's got to stop for a little while. It is nuts and bolts time. It is time to figure out what got us here so that we can get away from it. I want to be clear. When I ask the question, or when Josh asked the question, can it be fixed? The answer is yes. But it's going to take a shift in the mentality of Shane Beamer, in my opinion. It's going to take a shift in the mentality of the coaching staff top to bottom. It's going to take a shift in the mentality of the program as a whole. And on top of all of that, you are in the midst of the perfect storm. Because while you've got all that is circulating around your program after a bad loss to Ole Miss, not just a loss, because a loss was fine. Said that last week. You lose this game, it is what it is. A bad loss, a poor performance, a poor showing against Ole Miss, and you got one of the let's be as gracious as we can. Despite losing to Vanderbilt, one of the three best teams in the Southeastern Conference. Because yes, they lost to Vanderbilt, but let's not, as I pointed out, I thought Vandy covers the spread, not wins, covers the spread. Why? Because they beat Georgia the week before, a good Georgia team. So right now, to me, it's Texas, Bama, Georgia, 1-2-3 in the Southeastern Conference. Bama had a bad game just like South Carolina did. The problem is, the reason you're in the midst of the perfect storm...
So you're going to put Bama above Vanderbilt even though they lost to Vanderbilt?
Yes, because if they play that game 100 times, Bama wins 99. Yeah,
but they don't do that.
Correct. They only play it once.
They play it once per season, and right now, according to the standings, Bama is not above Vanderbilt.
According to the standings, if we put those two teams on the field on Saturday to run it back, and I told you that you had to put your career... No, let's up the stakes. Lonzo, Vandy, Alabama this Saturday, neutral site, hair v. hair match. Your luscious locks are on the line. Who's your money going on?
Right now, after what I saw last week, it's on Vanderbilt. Because this is a hypothetical, so I can say whatever I want. They can't play each other again unless they play each other in the playoff. So that could actually happen.
If you get rid of hypotheticals, you get rid of 90% of what we do for a living. That's how you compare and contrast things, is hypotheticals. Right? That is how you compare and contrast things.
It could just be a complete stat show and preview everything.
I agree, but that's boring and nobody wants that. Right? Nobody wants that. When you are putting out opinions and making prognostications, you do so with every time we pick a football game. Hey, coming up this weekend, Saints Bucks, we gotta make a prediction. It's a hypothetical.
Hypothetically, I think
this team wins.
You're talking about how South Carolina can fix things. First of all, there's a stigma on the program, has been forever. And you just don't fix that. If you could, it would already be gone. The only one who's ever come close to getting rid of that stigma, that losing mentality, which seems to prevail, was Steve Spurrier. And then he fizzled out in the end. I don't get what you mean by fixing things. How is at the end of this season, if Beamer were to keep his job, what would he have done that fixed it.
I need this team to come out in games like the game that they have upcoming against Oklahoma, the game they have upcoming against A&M, the game they have against Vandy, the game against Mizzou, the game against Clemson. And I need a team that if they lose, you go, they lose because they lost to a better ball club. Not they lost because they looked unprepared. They looked undisciplined. They looked like the game plan wasn't won.
So the losses that they took this year were like that except for the last one. They had one bad game.
They've had again, we disagree on this, so I'm just going to say it. No, they've had two. The Old Dominion game sucked. It was week one.
They won.
I don't care. That's not it.
Yeah, winning is kind of important.
I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying you can play booty cheeks and win, just like you can play great and lose. It happens. What I am looking for, as I have said a couple of times, is do you look disciplined? Do you execute? And is your game plan put together? Because it was not against Ole Miss. And I told Josh, this team could come in with the best game plan and the best execution in the history of the program. You're getting beat this weekend by Alabama. I don't ever say this. In the 4.5 years I've done this, I have never said this. There is no world South Carolina wins on Saturday. There's no reality they win this game on Saturday.
Coming up on the anniversary I just saw of when South Carolina beat Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be done. And I can't be negative like you.
I'm not being negative. I'm being real.
They're going to play like they have played every game except for the last game. They're going to be fine. Will they win? Probably not. Could they? Absolutely they could. Alabama not nearly as good as people think. And I'm going to be positive. So next time, Josh, talk to someone who might be positive.
Okay.
And not the height of negativity.
Plenty of positivity. There's plenty of chances left to fix it. There's plenty of chances to get the discipline better, to enact the game plan. It is going to take an institutional shift in mindset. But you're up against the juggernaut this Saturday, and a juggernaut that is infuriated.
A juggernaut that just lost to Vanderbilt, which means you're not a juggernaut.
Real bad loss. Real bad loss. One of the worst, maybe the worst loss in the history of the program. And they are coming for
blood. You should be saying the same thing about them that you're saying about Beamer then. How could they come out and play that way?
I have.
Did they forget that they're Alabama? I haven't heard it. So maybe you did it on some other show.
I have. The difference is that is a difference in 17 years of that club versus South Carolina that this is, as you've said, what we come to expect. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I do want to be clear about one thing. Alabama's got issues. I'm not saying they don't.
Like the same issues that South Carolina has, including a player doing something really stupid. Something that never would have happened under Saban.
Malachi Moore is who I assume Lonzo was talking about here. Defensive back who was you are correct, throwing absolute temper tantrums as the conclusion of that game, the inevitability of the upset became real. Malachi Moore at one point the ref spotted the ball and he like walked over and just kicked it. Standing in the middle of three referees, just walked up and kicked the ball. And I'm like, what an idiot. And then he's like, he's getting into it with his own teammates. Last snap, he like takes out his mouthpiece and throws it. And if there is one thing Lonzo despises, it's a thrown mouthpiece. Biggest cardinal sin in all of sports. Do not throw your mouthpiece.
Pinkies belong in your mouth.
Not on the ground. Or in the stands.
Or in the air. Or wherever it might land.
I did have a chuckle when I saw my man rip his mouthpiece 40 yards down the field. I'm like, oh, Lonzo's going to be furious about this. Furious about this guy.
See, that's what happens when Steph is your role model.
So, I am not saying Alabama's not without their own questions. And one of them is absolutely the concept of discipline. In fact, at one point, the Bama coaching staff sent in a sub for Malachi Moore, and he refused to come out of the game. Sent the sub back to the sideline. Was like, no, bro, I'm not coming out. Get your backup behind. back on the sideline. The defensive coordinator and Kalen DeBoer were running down the sideline like, get out of the game, dude. And he straight up told him no. I've never seen anything like, I mean, I'm not saying it's never happened. I'm just saying I have never. I've been hanging on this clip for a minute. Former Alabama Crimson Tide running back Damian Harris talked a little bit about Malachi Moore. Oh, sorry. Dumped that. Yep. Thought I hit the wrong clip. Good save. My bad. I get one a month. Year. Week. All right. Well, Damian Harris said a lot. I'll clean that clip up for us for later. Damian Harris said, effectively, what you did on the field was unacceptable. What you did on the field was unacceptable. He said this never would have happened under Nick Saban. And I don't disagree. It wouldn't have. But I think that with the change in coaching and with a change in staff comes a change in philosophy. And when you change the philosophy of something that's been in place for a very long time, it takes some time getting used to. If this was, and to kind of roll this back over to South Carolina, if this was Shane Beamer's first year, if this was Shane Beamer's second year, I'd be probably a lot more forgiving about it. A lot more, hey, complete change in philosophy of this program from where it was to where it is. I am more forgiving of it for Alabama. The you know, we always say, we compare everything in sports to one of three things. Food, relationships, or professional wrestling, right? One of three things. I'm going to compare this one to a relationship because that's what I thought of. For those of you that have been in the dating game at any point in your life, many of you have had a long-term relationship end, right? Couple years, 2, 3, 4 years, y'all were together. And you fell into kind of a routine, right? She cooks, I clean the dishes. She washes the clothes, I fold them and put them away. I do this, she does that, she does that, I do this. You get into that rhythm and that routine. And then there comes a point down the line where that relationship ends. And at some point, you find yourself in a new one. And what is, I don't know about you, I can just say this about me. One of the most difficult things for me in years gone by. One of the most difficult things for me in years gone by, not anymore, obviously, but back in the day when I would get out of a relationship and then get into a new one, is that sometimes you just make the assumption that because this is how it was, this is how it shall be. And you fall back into your old routine with your ex, and then it causes a rift with your new partner. She used to cook, and you did the dishes. So then one day, the new partner comes over, and you just kind of assume, well, she's going to cook, and I'm going to do the dishes. Why? Because that's how it's been. But there's somebody new at the helm. There's somebody new in the mix. You gotta evaluate and realize that everything's going to change. Now, Kalen DeBoer's been on the job for five games. That man's been there. Yeah, especially with the guys who were here because Saban was here. This is a different guy with a different philosophy and a different approach to the game. Those guys are going to have to rewire that mindset to fit into Alabama football. The guys in Columbia, they're all Shane's guys. So no, he doesn't. Yes, I know it's a wild sentence to say. Shane, in my opinion, for the discussion at hand, which is about discipline and game planning, Shane doesn't have the same level of forgiveness that Kalen DeBoer does year one at Alabama. Now, the difference is Shane Beamer doesn't have the, sorry, respectfully, quality of players that they have at the University of Alabama. That's just an inherent advantage that Kalen DeBoer has. But realistically speaking, in my opinion, subjective as it may be, in my opinion, Kalen DeBoer's got more grace in that aspect of the coaching game than Shane Beamer does, because he's been there for five games.
Yeah, but he doesn't. Because if it was Nick Saban, I would agree. But he's not.
But it's not Nick Saban.
Right. This is his first year. He shouldn't be getting slack where other people are not. He should be under the same microscope, if anything. And people are talking about the lack of discipline on Alabama right now. Things that Nick Saban wouldn't have put up with, more so than what they're talking about South Carolina. Definitely a concern for Alabama with stuff like that.
It is a concern. I promise you they're having this conversation on the radio in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And I know that because I've heard it. I've heard it on the Bama pods. I've heard it on the shows down there. They absolutely are talking about it in Tuscaloosa. But it is because the fans have been Saban fans for 17 freaking years or whatever it was. So they're not used to it either. But he is not Nick Saban. He's not the same guy. Forget the same guy or same philosophy. He ain't Nick Saban. If and when.
And he doesn't have Nick Saban's players because a bunch of those guys bailed when
sure
Nick
did.
Saban left.
Sure did.
So this is not that Alabama team that it was last
Completely
year.
Completely agreed. It's still a really good team. There's still a ton of talent down there.
Are they?
Jalen Milroe is one of the best three quarterbacks in college football.
Not good enough to beat Vanderbilt, though.
Again. Oh, they've had one bad game, Lonzo.
Exactly.
One bad game.
Exactly.
The context.
I bet you can find all kinds of positive. You just have said a bunch of positive things about Alabama, but you couldn't say it about South Carolina.
I absolutely did. Your disregard of me saying it doesn't mean I didn't say it. I absolutely said positive things. If it is an issue of discipline, that can be fixed. If it was an issue of poor game planning, that can be fixed. And to me, that's what it was. The difference is the things that went wrong for South Carolina in their game against Ole Miss. Those are things fixed at a coaching level. What went wrong for Alabama are things that are fixed at a coaching level, right? It's not entirely. They didn't play great, but it's not entirely on the players. If the players are undisciplined, it's the coach's fault. If the game plan is bad, it's the coach's fault. And I would say that was true about both South Carolina and at Alabama. Okay? Now, here's what I would say. With these, I love this text. I'm coming to this text in a second, Texter. Thank you for that. Kalen DeBoer has been on the job for five games. And by the way, did not get a full preseason with the team, right? He came over after Nick Saban shock retired. He has not had a full preseason and he's been at the helm for five games. Shane's been there 3 years. 3 years. If you haven't instilled discipline in your program after 3 years, we got to have a discussion. If you haven't instilled discipline in your team after five games, I'll give you some time.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because under Shane Beamer, they've had a history of these incidents. And he hasn't been able to get it under control. This happens game after game, season after season. Yeah, I'm sure you can name like at least 10, 15 times that this has happened under Shane Beamer.
Nope, but I can tell you times that we've had too many men on the field penalties. I can tell you plenty of drives that have been killed off by penalties. These are also disciplinary issues. These are also issues of a lack of discipline. They just are what they are. That's my issue. And again, there's a difference in a coach who's been there five games versus 3 years.
3 years, you're right. Because the guy's been there five games, already having problems with discipline. Guy's been there 3 years, has had one incident.
A team that has played together five games under this coach, of which 15, if I'm guessing and being extreme, 15% of his players are his guys, right? Because yeah, a bunch of Bama guys left, but a bunch of Bama guys stepped up to fill those holes. Kalen DeBoer brought what, six transfers with him? Out of 100 plus guys on the roster? So when I say 15%, that's like probably double what that number is. So yes. A coach who's been on the job not one full season and five games, who is coaching a team comprised, let's say, generously, 85% of players who were brought there by somebody else, versus a guy who's had three full off seasons, three and a half seasons, and whose roster is, let's be conservative, 85% players he recruited to South Carolina? Yeah. Yeah, I would say that. I would say there's a different disciplinary situation there. Texter said, Milroe is not a good quarterback. He couldn't beat Vanderbilt, dude. Shut the up sometimes. Stop trying to ruin your own show. I'll tell you what right now, Texter. Whoops, I assume, respectfully, as a South Carolina fan. I'll give you a choice right now. Jalen Milroe or Lenora Sellers?
The same guy destroyed me like two texts earlier. So, or he thinks so. So, I mean, you know.
I mean, that's okay. I like the opinions.
I also like the
Texter said, Rob, your negativity has poisoned the well here. Again, guys, I need you to know whether you like it or not, and I can tell you don't. This conversation for me stems from optimism. It does. This stems from optimism. What stems from optimism is the fact that I believe that if this is indeed a disciplinary and game planning issue, not a talent issue, but a disciplinary issue. Oh, Texter said that was sarcasm for Lonzo. Checks out. Disciplinary and game planning issue. That's fixable. That's fixable. I believe it can be fixed. I absolutely do. I just don't think it's going to get fixed by the time you take on Alabama Saturday. That's my take.
Yeah, Tony Robbins, you are not. I would have walked out of this seminar probably like 5 minutes into it because you gotta work on your positivity.
As we have
said, when a fan says, "Can you tell me something good about my team?" and you can't,
I am not here to kiss you or Shane or Josh's or anybody else's booty cheeks. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to go sunshine and rainbows. Everything's great. It's glittering unicorns everywhere. I'm here to say this is broken, and if you want to be good, this has got to be fixed. There is no point in talking about what's going right. You want me to just clap? Yay! Everything. No. No. You can't fix what's not broken. You fix what's broken. You fix what's wrong. And if you fix the things that are wrong, do you know what you get to do? You get to take those things and you get to move them over to the here's what's right category. And if you get most of the things in the here's what's wrong category in the here's what's right category, so the here's what's right category is filled and the here's what's wrong category ain't filled, do you know what you get to do? Then you get to start going, I love our football team all the time. We're way more good than bad. But if the majority of things, or at least the biggest blocks, or in the here's what's broken category, that's what you focus on. This show ain't here to, I love your team. They're so amazing. You're the bestest.
Don't worry, people. I'll swipe the glasses at some point and it'll go back to being Rob. I'll do that.
Full heel mode. Say hello to the bad guy. Say hello to Lonzo. He's about to wow you with his sports flush.
Well, anything after
that. See, that was nice.
Anything after that negativity's got to be positive. One half of the National League Divisional Series is set. The Mets beat the Phillies last night 4-1 off the back of Francisco Lindor grand slam in the sixth inning. The Mets await the winner of Friday's game 5 between the Dodgers and Padres. The Dodgers extended the series back to LA with a dominating 8-0 win over San Diego. On the American League side, the Tigers took a 2-1 lead over the Guardians with a 3-0 win at home, and the Yankees went up 2-1 in their series with Kansas City after a 3-2 win. Both of those series will resume today with Cleveland versus Detroit at 6:08 and the Yankees at the Royals at 8:08. Make sure you tune in this Saturday at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Chattanooga Mocs. It's Furman versus Chattanooga right here on your home for Paladins football, exclusively right here on The Fan, Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.